Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm a feminist, but recently my friend was talking about programming an independent cinema themed to the days of the week. For example, Scorsese Saturday, Western Wednesday. He asked me for suggestions, and I said, Chick Flick Tuesday! And he replied, I was sure you were going to say Feminist Friday.
I can't make it that Friday. I have plans. I'm reading submissions from the listeners. I'm a feminist, but I put on false eyelashes to go to a 6 a.m. yoga class because I thought my ex-girlfriend would be there. She was not. They fell off because I forgot it was hot yoga.
I'm a feminist, but my husband and I love watching Dragon's Den. And we noticed that if a conventionally attractive female entrepreneur comes into the den, Peter Jones often sits up and says, "You're very investable," even if he doesn't like her product. Now, when we are watching, if a stereotypically hot young woman comes in, we always say, "She's very investable." And now sometimes we say it when we are out in restaurants.
This is also from a listener. I'm a feminist, but today I accidentally referred to the British Prime Minister as a girl and was corrected by a man who said, "Woman, Shirley, aren't you a feminist?" Did I say Shirley as if that was her name?
You do. You say it like airplane. Please stop calling me Shirley.
How else would you say it? Woman, Shirley.
Probably say it your way.
Okay, hold on. I'm sure you mean a woman. You can edit that in.
Yeah, no, that'll sound supernatural when it's edited. I'm a feminist, but I would trade one vote in one election, as long as I was in an extremely safe left-wing seat, for Jennifer Aniston's hair. If I was very sure my vote didn't count. If I got Jennifer Aniston's hair for life.
Which vote is that? Is that the vote, I don't know, people died?
So yeah. Yes.
Okay,
I didn't say I was proud of it. This is the section where we admit bad things.
Jennifer Aniston's hair.
She's got the best hair.
Hair like Jennifer Aniston or her hair?
That's a really good point.
Isn't it?
Oh, God. If I was responsible for making the most famous hair woman in the world bald, people would hate me.
And you would feel worse about balding Jennifer Aniston and about not voting.
Yes. Genuinely.
Just checking.
As long as I was in a safe Labour seat. If I was in a marginal seat or a swing state in America, no way. Of course.
This is also from a listener. I'm a feminist, but when I arrived at the Edinburgh Festival, I wrote a really cheery group text saying, "Hey, if anyone's around for a pint tonight, I'll be at the Pleasance Courtyard at 9 o'clock. And then I only sent it to the guy I have a crush on. To be fair, I could have written that too. It's so happy.
Who hasn't done that? If you haven't done that, it's been done to you. Live from the Gilded Balloon at the Edinburgh Fringe, the Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with Sophie Hagen, Deborah Francis-White, and tonight's special guest, Jordan Raskopoulos, from the Axis of Awesome, talking about hair removal. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and our hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. So today we're going to talk about hair removal. Now, I'm not entirely comfortable, I'm not going to lie to you, talking about anything, like saying the words pubic hair, it's very difficult for me.
It's so funny.
I can only talk about it in incredibly formal language.
You call it scatology.
That's only the loo, though. That's like...
Yeah, but you have like a whole area of things that you can't say.
It's true.
Everything body fluids.
Well, last week we talked about periods.
Anything neck and down.
Well, I can talk about sex. I can talk about things going into the body, just not anything coming out of it. That seems to be my rule. I've never realised that before until this very second, but that's my rule. Anything inserted?
Say...
All good.
Say the word anal.
No. So what were your challenges? What was your challenge this week?
I have very dark hair. Dark, long hair. My dad didn't give me a lot. That's what he gave me. So much hair. Like, everywhere. Like in your head, you're going, but not there. Yeah, there. Everywhere. Wow. So I think my usual thing is to, like, I shave most of it. I don't do waxing because, I mean, I hate myself, but not that much. Yeah. And so I literally, I shave fingers because otherwise it's Wolverine. And I shave my toes because otherwise Wolverine. And legs... You know, to an extent, you know. Thighs are like, meh. You know, that's a big area. Don't have time for it. Under my arms, and sometimes my moustache. And when I was a teenager, I used to shave my arms, but that you shouldn't do that. That's never good. So I've accepted the arms. And then I realized there was no logic reason for doing this. In my head, I had that voice saying, it's cleaner, but it's not, because I shower.
No.
You know. I have a friend who calls her bush the flavor saver. But I would...
We're now in an area I'm really uncomfortable in. It's like we've walked into a very seedy bar at 4 a.m. and there's violence in the eyes of everyone.
Well, that's basically why I said it, because I love making you uncomfortable.
I know you do. I know.
So I thought, okay, I'll just leave it because there's no logic reason for me doing this. It's only because when I was a teenager, all my teenage friends said, you should do this, you're a woman, that's what we do. So I stopped, just stopped. And a month in, and that's a lot of inches. I went to a friend's birthday party and we hooked up, and as we were about to get naked, don't know why I said it with that accent, get naked, I remembered, and for, you know, I had that second of going, oh shit, because I'm okay with this, but I don't know if he is. But, you know, I kind of respected him enough and also disrespected him enough to let it happen. Nothing bad happened. He didn't even sneeze.
Did he mention it? Because it's running contrary to fashion. Or do you think this is coming back into fashion? I think it's coming back into fashion.
I don't think he's the kind of guy who sleeps with fashionable people. So I don't think he knows that. I think he just thought I was hot anyways. And sex is nice. And then we had the sex. I really don't think... I mean, in theory, he could have thought like bad things, but I don't feel like I sleep with people who would think that. But it was more about overcoming it in my own head and going, okay, you know what? Realistically, there might be people who'd go, whoa, shit, I'm not touching that, I can't find it or whatever. But I don't want to sleep with those people, and that's fine. Like, I got that into my head because I read a women's magazine when I was 18 because I'm an idiot. And it had an interview with, like, a bunch of reality stars, like men, and they were all saying, like, oh, women should be completely clean-shaven and they should be this, and it's disgusting if there's any hair, etc. And I remember reading that thinking, oh, okay, oh, sorry, I'm going to change that now, because that's just how I assumed all men were thinking. And I mean, there are people out there who do feel like that, but that's not...
You can't change for those people.
I don't want to change for those people. And God, I'm saving so much time. I did it. I shaved my legs because I missed the feeling of, like, legs against new bedding. And that was the only reason. Only reason.
Yeah. No, it's really good to do the thing that you really want to do. The thing that's always said is, it's your choice. Choose whatever you want. That's a feminist act if you're choosing it. And I think that's true to an extent. But I also think sometimes the choice we're making is because we've been born and raised in the patriarchy. So, yes, it is my choice to squeeze my feet into stilettos because I feel sexier. But that's because of the indoctrination I've had since I was a small child about what a sexy woman looks like. So my new thing is I'm going to take a break from doing my choice. And I'm going to try the other choice that isn't along with the stereotype of what an attractive woman does, that may be more comfortable, less painful, less expensive, and live with that for a couple of months. And then I'm going to say, I choose smooth legs because I love the way they feel against the sheets. Or after I got used to hairy legs and no one was really staring at them and it made no big difference, I thought, do you know what? I really liked that, and try that again. Because I think sometimes we go, I choose always to be bronzed and smooth because that's my choice. And that's feminist choice. Hashtag feminism. And actually, we don't try the other thing, so we never find out if we like it or not. Do you see what I mean by that?
I see what you mean. I don't... I know one person who, for some reason, hasn't been affected by, I don't know, the patriarchy. It's like she doesn't know what the expectations are. It's like she thinks she's been brought up in, like, a jungle somewhere with no Wi-Fi.
She's raised by wolves.
I mean, I think she might have been. It's a really difficult one because I think it's just all has to be seen in, like, a context. And I don't think you necessarily need to have hairy legs for 6 months in order to know what you really want and what you feel like. I put it on myself to sometimes do something that's a bit uncomfortable if it can help push the world a bit. Like, I didn't love putting photos of my naked stomach on Instagram. It wasn't the best thing in the whole world, but I felt like there would be some 14 or 15-year-old girls seeing that who were fat, who would see that and go... Oh, and it would push it a little bit. Everyone needs to do something that's
everyone
a bit uncomfortable.
Needs to push the envelope. Can I push the envelope in the way that I want to? Because I'm not sure I'm going to put naked pictures on Instagram. Not that you put naked pictures on Instagram. Edit that out.
Welcome to the stage, Deborah Frances White.
I always used to think that I was still a little bit Australian. I should explain. I was born and raised in Australia. I know I don't sound especially Australian, but I read a lot of Enid Blyton as a child, and I picked up the accent from the books. And I moved here as soon as I could on my gap year, never went back to Australia to live, and always figured that though I felt more British, identify as British, that there was a little bit of Australian still in me. And I discovered last year when I went home for a holiday that there wasn't. I am no longer Australian. And I'll tell you how I know. I went for a bikini wax in a small Australian town. And I went in and I said to the lady, I just want a tidy up. Like, I've never been one to have a Brazilian or anything. I just wanted a tidy up. And the lady looked down and she went, oh, yeah, you don't want koala ears down there. And so I got up on her special bed. And she poured hot wax on my area and began to rip it off. And this is one of the things, so you sitting there, this is a male privilege. I'm going to guess that you have never paid another human being to pour hot wax on your genitalia and ask them to rip it off. Is that the case?
Not paid, no.
You've not paid for it.
have you ever had it done for free? If so, where do you go? Because it costs me a frickin' fortune. So she starts ripping bits of wax off my skin, and she looks down and she goes, oh, I've gone a bit high on the side. Oh, I'll just have to even off on that side. Oh, that's a bit crooked now. I'll just take a bit more. Oh, it looks a bit odd underneath. I'll just take it off underneath. Oh, I just need to go a bit higher. Oh, just a bit straighter, just a bit higher, just a bit straighter, just a bit higher, just even it off, just a bit higher, just a bit straighter, just even it off, just higher, straighter, even it off, even it off, even it off, straighter, higher, higher, underneath, straighter, straighter, even it off, bit off the top, bit off the side, bit off the side. Oh, love, I'm sorry, I'm really going to have to charge you for the full Brazilian. And I knew I was British because I paid and tipped her. As I walked away, I thought, that's extraordinary, isn't it, what's just happened? It's a bit like paying someone to tidy your house, coming home, finding they've robbed you blind and paying extra, because admittedly, there really is no clutter. No clutter at all. And I got home from this long trip to Australia, and my husband picked me up from the airport, and we went home, and I got in the bath, and he came into the bathroom to have a chat and find out how the trip had gone. I'm lying there chatting to him, and after a while, I went, so I've got some news. Down there. He said, you've had a Brazilian? I went, yeah. He said, that's not news. I said, why not? He said, well, for a start, I've been talking to you in the bath for half an hour. And secondly, you put it on Facebook.
What's your challenge?
I had this sort of mugging of a waxing. And at first it was the oddest experience because it was smooth like a Barbie. It was the weirdest thing. And what I had not realised, and this is where I'm going to have to speak in quite formal language, is that, how can I say this discreetly? If there's no hair there, liquid runs down your leg. So...
What liquid? You piss yourself.
No, no. Liquids like, I'll say it formally, micturition.
What? Anyone?
Urine.
Urine. Mm. That's what I just said.
I didn't piss myself. No, it's just when you finished peeing, you wipe it, right?
Yeah.
You have to wipe a lot more thoroughly because otherwise you just get...
Maybe you always have to wipe more thoroughly. Maybe don't assume that's
right,
there too.
Sure. Menstruation, it just runs straight down. So copulation.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah?
Yeah.
Sperm,
yes.
But do you usually keep it up there?
No. If you get out of bed having copulated and then you're walking into the bathroom, it's just running down your leg and it was never like that before.
Clench. But, isn't that...
No, I'm just saying the experiences were different.
Okay.
Hair free and hair full. But after a while of having this Brazilian, at first I didn't like it, and then after a while I was like, oh, it's really clean, and I felt somehow more confident about certain sexual activities.
But no wonder it's more clean if you never wipe.
No!
That makes all the sense.
I did wipe! I just, it's just so
you, you've used it as like a little basket.
No!
Blood, sperm,
oh
and urine.
I hate this so much. This is going to be like a recurring nightmare for the rest of my life. There's a whole audience of people here. Either that or I've overslept and I'm still asleep and this show is going on and my brain's trying to wake me up to tell me get to this theatre. So, am I naked? No. Okay. It's not a dream. So
I think we're all happy that you're not, now that we know.
Thank you. Oh God, this is devastating.
Pubic hair.
This is devastating. None of this is going
to
make the edit. So you guys, glad you were here.
Well, I'm double recording it.
No,
that's
thank
going
you.
Out
thank
on
you.
My new podcast, Unedited Guilty Feminist.
Oh, oh, the remix. So yeah, so I started to like the fact that I felt confident that there was literally nothing there, and so it slightly changed my relationship with the sex. So I kept doing it. And then the first ever Guilty Feminist podcast we ever did, the theme was nudity, and my challenge was to pose in front of a life drawing class naked, and more people saw me in that room naked than had ever previously seen me naked in my life, in total. I'm not a very naked person, and which probably surprises you, given my freewheeling attitude to talking about...
to wiping.
Yeah, thank you. And... God. This is also the last episode of the Guilty Feminist ever to be recorded, so you guys are here at a special
because
night.
We've peaked. We've peaked.
No, because we're never speaking again.
And we're starting a new podcast called Deborah Learns About Personal Hygiene.
Oh, no, no, I was always clean. I'm just saying, when you first get your period and you get out of bed and you go, oh, I've got my period, right? That second is a very different second than the previous second.
Oh, you know what this is? This is you not being fat.
What?
No, my thighs do that. I just keep my thighs together, then nothing runs down my thighs.
I have no thigh gap. Are you insane?
Well, you must have it. There's stuff running down them.
There is, I swear to you,
a regular occurrences.
My thighs are ample, and yet I still have the... I have no...
Not fat enough. You should get fat. You can be hairy and fat. You'll never see any body liquids. I think you'd love that.
This is officially the most disgusting episode we've ever done. And we've done periods. Which are not disgusting.
Yeah, you saved it there.
Yeah, I really did. I don't think anyone noticed. When I did the life drawing one, I went for a wax that day, just because, you know, you're going to be standing naked. And I was on the phone, because sometimes I go on the phone to distract myself from the waxing. I have a good, great relationship with my waxer. And she just took it all off. And actually, standing, posing naked in front of people somehow felt less exposing, weirdly, to not be showing them my pubic hair.
And I don't think that's weird.
The other model had a little tiny strip, and I didn't have anything. And then I was like, oh, it's kind of weird. Like, we're like Barbies sort of thing. Anyway, so I just kept on doing that. And then I just was like, this is my choice thing. This is my, let's just make an informed choice. I'm not saying everyone has to do this by any means, but this is my method to make sure I'm really making a choice. And I'm not just going, this makes me feel safe and sexy because I've seen it on billboards. So I've grown my hair back just to see what it's like. And it is, it's kind of like, hello darkness, my old friend. I'm liking it. I'm like, oh, I feel kind of more womanly. It's like, oh yeah, I'm a grown up. Why did I have no hair?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
We're so happy to have this guest on. We love it to bits. Please welcome to the stage, Jordan Raskopoulos! Welcome. Did I pronounce that correctly?
No.
I'm sorry, what is it?
Raskopoulos.
Raskopoulos.
Yeah, that's all right, it's a common mistake.
Well, thanks for coming. How's your French?
It's going well. This is our 7th year here, so it's kind of trying to find new ways to be achieving here. So, you know, we've sold out before, so I'm like, oh, what's really good now that's not selling out? So we're looking for good reviews. We're like, this is our best reviewed show.
Oh,
that's cool. That's good. Congratulations.
Yeah. So Jordan is in a band called Axis of Awesome, mm-hmm. and it's an Australian comedy rock band.
More or less, yeah.
Is that a accurate description?
A musical comedy group.
They're very, very, very funny.
Thank you.
I personally don't read reviews up here because they get into my head.
Yeah, I mean, I look after a lot of the band's social media, so I have Google Alerts, so I get all the reviews coming into my inbox, so I can deal with it. I mean, I dealt with the comments when I came out as transgender, so I can deal with everything. So
Fair enough. That's true. I haven't had to do that, so I'm like, what do you mean 3 stars? So I guess if you've come out as transgender, you're like, oh, 3 stars, fuck you. In terms of that experience and body hair, is there a shift?
I mean, there was a lot of hair to deal with. I mean, when I came out to our YouTube fans, it was in a video called What's Happened to Jordan's Beard? Because I started transition about 8 months before I actually came out to our fans. So I was in the process of removing my beard permanently. And we were getting a lot of comments like, what's happened to Jordan's beard? Poor Jordan doesn't look good without the beard. Where's the beard gone? And then there was a lot of homosexual men who were really disappointed because I was like a poster boy for them. And so they're, where's the bear gone? Where's the bear? And so when I came out, it was like, yeah, this is what's happened to Jordan's beard and this is why it's never coming back. But the removal of that, which is still ongoing, it was very painful and it involved a lot of lasers and electrolysis. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, when I came out, some people were like, oh, you're going to have to deal with waxing now. I'm like, bitch, please. yeah, I'd already dealt with waxing before, so that was fine. Waxing a scrotum's fun. You have to help.
Wait, can you?
Oh.
You gotta like, unfold it like a tent. And
no.
Yeah, you have to hold... You have to pull it out so it's flat like a sheet of paper, and so that way they can wax it. So you need to assist them like a kite, even or a sail.
See, I've done threading.
So much information.
Yeah.
I've done threading, and they make you
similar to the threading.
The skin. So threading, if anyone doesn't know, is an Asian system with cotton. And they take a piece of cotton and they make a little loop and they kind of pull the hairs out. And it's better for your face than waxing because you're putting hot wax on your face, basically. And it's better than shaving. So I have my eyebrows threaded and, oh, my God, the pain.
Can I describe electrolysis for you?
Do it.
Okay. So this is a method of permanent hair removal. And so what it involves is a series of 32 probes. They're not needles, they're probes because they're blunt. Each one is inserted into a hair follicle. And then you hold an electrode in one hand and they pass an electric current through the probes.
What?
So pass a current through your body and that causes electrolysis. So what that means is that you have equal and opposite chemical reactions happening in your hand where the other electrode is and in your face where the first one is. So the water and salt in your hand becomes hydrochloric acid and the water and salt in your face becomes sodium hydroxide, which is lye. And then that burns the hair follicle, and so you do that for about 5 minutes, and then they've killed 32 hairs.
32?
Yeah.
I would really want the whole forest gone at that point.
And so
I'd
then they pull them out, and then they insert them to another 32, and you do that every week for about a year.
Oh, oh my shit. God. That sounds like the worst year of anybody's life.
I'm kind of into it.
Is there an S&M effect?
Maybe a little bit. I could put on some like Iron Maiden and just embrace it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you have tattoos?
Do I have a tattoo? Yeah, I've got.
So is the pain equal or worse?
No, much, much worse. It's
worse.
Chemical burn. It's caustic burning. It's a very intense base. Not bases in sound. Bases in not an acid.
Because I cry when I get tattoos, and I was like, "That's
No, it's not as bad.
I know people that have had it for their armpits and just like women who just like, I don't want to deal with shaving anymore. But I've just never wanted to do it because I'm like, anything permanent that I'm doing to my body, I have the same sensation about tattoos actually. I'm like, what if I change my mind? I change my mind all the time. Like, what if I, you know.
Yeah, I'm not changing my mind about the beard.
No,
I'm cool.
On that level, completely fair enough. I got paranoid about top lip hair.
Sure.
And I'd say to my threader, can you see it? She'd be like, no. And then one day she went, all right, let me just have a go at it. And if the pain of threading your eyebrows as well, I mean, I was like, fuck!
Yeah.
And she had to say, could you please be quiet because you're scaring the other patients. not patients, the clients.
Yeah.
The other inmates.
Victims.
The other victims, exactly.
Yeah, I'm the only person my electrologist has had fall asleep while getting their lip done.
Oh, my Christ. Oh, you're so what are you made roll. Of?
Oh, I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just pure rag and roll.
Just wrong chromosomes.
I don't know if it's that personal asking about the rest of your body.
No, go for it, go for it.
Do you shave your legs and stuff now?
I did laser on most of my body. So, like, I lasered my chest and my back. I was a very hairy person prior to transition. But you can't laser over tattoos because, it sets them on fire or something.
Well, if you had an exploding tattoo, if your tattoo burst into fire, you'd be the most rock and roll person in the history of rock and roll.
I also feel like you wouldn't care. You'd just be like, pfft.
Yeah. But so I've got tattoos on my body, they haven't been able to laser over them. So I've been able to gauge how much that part of my body has changed from hormones. And I was like, oh, I probably didn't need to laser certain, like my back or my chest, because that kind of just kind of took care of itself.
Is there a world in which in 20 years' time or 50 years' time that a person can transition and not need to worry about certain hair, that some of the hair will change and some of it will come lighter because of hormones? And
yeah,
that kind of thing.
I mean, if you look at trans people across different cultures and cultures that are a little more accepting of different gender identities, like if you look at the kind of the Hijra in India or the Fafafini, you kind of see a different attitude to trans bodies in those spaces, and that there isn't, you know, the person is accepted for who they are without the kind of pull towards the gender binary and towards changing their body. So maybe in the future, as we kind of explore gender more and gender fluidity is kind of more accepted and understood, perhaps people will, just kind of go with the flow a bit more. We'll just have to see.
I'm wondering that because I'm seeing, like, with my nephew's generation, how much children, because their parents now are not going, no, you can't have that toy, don't read that book, you might see a girl in it. It's the children now who are being raised in sort of open, accepting households are so much more gender fluid than our generation were.
Who's this? There's a celebrity, isn't there, that has a child. I don't know enough about this stuff. Wasn't there a celebrity who had a child who that was gender neutral?
Will Smith.
Is it Will Smith?
Will Smith, yeah. Will Smith's son is it, I want to say, Jaden?
Yeah.
Jaden Smith?
Because that's a thing that can change things. But at the same time, I feel like we're very lucky that we're in like a bubble, like our Facebook feed is, you know, people who agree with us, and we kind of think, oh, the whole world agrees with us, and then Brexit happens and you're like, oh, uh-oh. And I really hope it's going that way. That's why I mention Will Smith, is that that's, you know, he's a very public person, and that might, maybe that'll change something, but it also changes something that you had the courage to come out and that you did this publicly.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had to still have a job. but it was, I really, through transition, struggled with how people would take it when I came out. And even making the decision to come out publicly, I think, you know, the fact is the hormones did their work and I looked very different. And then people stopping me in the street and asking for photos, and people didn't recognise me. And there was a moment where I was like, I could walk away and I could abandon my public profile, I could abandon this career and I could start over. But I didn't want to. I really enjoy what I'm doing. I really love singing. I really love performing. So I wanted to continue. But I also felt it was important for me because I wanted to maintain so much continuity in my life, and that so much of the trans narrative is that restart that, you know, particularly early in the 90s, people were forced to restart. They were forced to seek out new friends and move to new cities and start new lives so that people wouldn't know they were trans. And, you know, I struggled with Caitlyn Jenner's coming out because she seemed to do that. She seemed to draw a line under Bruce and then start over and almost have a new personality. And so for me, coming out publicly, my message was about continuity, that I wanted to say, I'm still the same person, I still love the same stuff, I still sing with the same voice and the same vocal range and the same vocal register. My name is the same, and this is something new that you found out about me. And I've had so many young people come message me going, I didn't know you could do it like that. You know, I thought I had to, if I wanted to do this, basically, yeah, I thought I had to change everything in my life. And through seeing your journey, realising that I didn't. And I mean, I had to come to that conclusion on my own as well. You know, initially I thought it was incompatible, and that's what held me off transitioning for so long, and that's why I did it at 32 and not earlier.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah. questions from the audience? Hello.
Hi. We saw a lot about hair removal, but as Cringe, our feminist who has experienced involuntary hair loss, how much do you think, as feminists, we can deal with the continuous sense of how a woman should look, and how much we have to conform to that look?
So, like head hair loss as opposed to body hair, Jordan?
I wear a wig. A lot of people don't know, but half my hair is not my hair. I don't know. I mean, I dealt with male pattern baldness, and that was quite dysphoric for me. And a lot of it grew back, but then I had to kind of make a decision of whether I wanted that to be me. And I kind of decided that I'm happier wearing a hair hat day to day. And I might change my mind over that. I might get more comfortable with my body, but the way it is at the moment, I wear my hair hat.
That's the best word for it.
Yeah, it's. I would never have known in a million years.
Yeah, I mean, it's people hair. And I mean, I think a big issue for me was kind of grappling with the ethics of that, because the sourcing of human hair for wigs is sometimes dubious. The origin is sometimes dubious and comes through threat of violence or all manner of things. So, you know, trying to find ethically sourced hair for a wig is hard and expensive as well. Yeah.
I think we all kind of agree that we shouldn't have to conform to the expectations and the whatever you feel like you have to look like. But it's hard, isn't it? I mean, I've had friends who had their hairdressers take a few inches more of their hair than they wanted to, and it's been the worst thing that's ever happened to them. And that's not me mocking them, because I know that can be such a... I think I've wanted to cut my hair really, really short for a while, but it's terrifying.
And it shouldn't be. It's part of your identity, your hair. That's what I think.
That's the point. We feel like it, but it's not, and it isn't part of...
It's, I mean, it's hard. I mean, from a trans perspective, but this is something that cis women with short or no hair deal with, is being misgendered. You know, for me, it's a hard thing, and having longer hair means I get misgendered far less frequently. You know, even around bathroom use and stuff like that, that I have a lot of, you know, lesbian friends who have quite short hair being told off in the bathroom, you know, being mistaken for men. And that's distressing. And if that's something that goes hand in hand with the way that your body is developing or changed or whatever, then you can make that decision for yourself.
Also, I think aesthetics, I feel that it is part of your identity, for me anyway. I feel aesthetics are part of my identity, because it's sort of something for me that separates us from the animals, is how we decorate ourselves. And that's in every single culture. You can go back and be an anthropologist and dig up decoration from thousands of years ago. People were saying, this is me. I wear this red necklace, or I tattoo this onto my shoulder. This is how I make myself me and not just one of a million humans.
Yeah.
So for me, I think your aesthetics are a part of your identity, and it's something that does make you human. So my decision, because if I say to my cat, do you want the red collar or the blue collar? It's not going to go, show me the blue one again.
Yeah, which one leads to the Matrix?
Yeah, it's not going to say that. It's not going to know. It's not going to care. It can't see itself in a mirror. And one of the things that makes me human is my ability to look in the mirror and go, I change, I grow this hair, I pull this hair back, I shave this hair, I roar, I present myself this way or that way. And it can depend on the week, on the morning, on the party, on the how gendered I'm feeling, all
it's
those
not,
things.
But it's not like if you shaved of all your hair, your husband was going to come home and go, oh shit, who's the cat?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting.
But if I lost my hair because I had to have chemotherapy, I would imagine it would have a profound impact if I hadn't chosen shaving.
No,
my hair.
I agree. I totally agree. I think my point was that it shouldn't have to. Of course, we can and we should if we want to, but we shouldn't feel like we have to have long hair in order to feel like you look like a woman.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's interesting that you kind of bring up tattoos in that context, because for me, tattoos have an interesting way of taking control of your body, because I hated my body and I was dysphoric about my body for so long. And for me, getting tattooed was a way of, and the way I rationalized at the time is, you know, everybody's body changes and they get older and things happen that you don't like you lose your hair and blah, blah, blah. And tattoos are a way of taking control. And you know, unpacking that through transition as well was a lot tied up in my dysphoria. But it's the same thing. It's like if changing your body or altering your body gives you control, whether that's tattoo, whether that's shaving your head, whether that's growing your head, then that's ultimately a good thing, I think.
Mm. But it's when you're talking about hair loss, to go back to your question, you're talking about something that's being taken away from your control. And I think that's why it can feel dehumanizing or defeminizing if you're a woman. or demasculinizing if you're a man who, you know, identifies as such, is because something's being taken away from you. If you choose to cut your hair really short, and or you choose as a guy to grow your hair long and go against that trend, that's a statement in itself.
Yeah.
That's a piece of identity in itself. Do you know what I mean by that?
Mm.
So it's more, I feel like, what do you want to do rather than what does society expect of you? Those things are different questions, I think.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
She's left.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for sharing this. Your experiences with us. It's been really, really interesting and helpful and fascinating. And I think on the podcast as well, we're going to get a lot of tweets from people who that means a lot to. And for all of us to be able to ask those questions and learn and explore as we're in an age of increasingly more inclusion, like every month I feel like the language is changing and the way people are included is changing.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to talk about it in order to understand how to include better. So we really appreciate it. A big round of applause for Jordan Raskopoulos.
Where can people find you? Twitter, social media?
So if you Google Axis of Awesome or Jordan Rasko, I'm on all the social medias under those names. So if you want me, Jordan Rasko, if you want the band Axis of Awesome.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen Axis of Awesome, but they're unbelievably good.
We're
very
really
excited.
Good.
What's the name of the title of your show this year?
Won't Ever Not Stop Giving Up.
Yes. And I feel that's true of you. You won't ever not stop giving up. And we
It's ultimately positive, in the positive direction. When we wrote it out, we're like, won't ever... No, that's won't give up. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's persistence. Okay, great. Yeah.
And along with us at the Guilty Feminists, we won't ever not stop giving up either. Do you have anything you would like the audience to see, listen to, or hear about Sophie Hagen?
This episode.
Yeah.
I launched my own little podcast called Made of Human, which is where I talk to people I like and respect who are slightly introverted people. And I talk to them about how they deal with life and how they manage to be humans in this world that's a bit terrifying. And my first guest is Josie Long, and that came out today. I think you should listen to that. And I'm on Twitter at Sophie Hagen.
I'm on Twitter at Deborah FW. And also I'm doing a show called Global Pillage, and it was a diversity challenge off this show where I challenged myself to make a panel show where the panelists were diverse and the questions were about cultural diversity. And it's two teams of comedians versus the hive mind of the audience. So if you know the answer, you can shout it out.
Find us on Twitter at GuiltyFemPod, on Instagram at TheGuiltyFeminist, and go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating.
Or however many stars you think.
5-star rating. 5-star rating.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with Sophie Hagen, me, Deborah Frances White, and our special guest, Jordan Raskopoulos. Recording engineer is Gary Boyle. Music was by Mark Hodge. The producer was Tom Sikorski for the Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to everyone at The Guilty Blue, and Butler, and everyone at SoTV, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit GuiltyFeminist.com.
Has anyone ever said, I'm a feminist butt, as in, like, a butt?
Oh, yeah.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but Deborah told me to
stop. I'm a feminist butt.
I'm a feminist
butt. I'm so happy you said that. Deborah told me to stop doing that.
That's because I don't like bottoms. I do, but not in that way.
Just not wiping them.
You may insert just nothing coming out.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.